body of the animal is cast outside. That is a typical sin offering. But it is done to admit your sin, to come in repentance before God, and to ask Him for grace and mercy that He won't bring the past sins that you have committed in the past forward anymore, that there won't be any more remembrance of them. This was a sin offering. As soon as they sanctified themselves and they sanctified the temple, then they had the sin offering. And then they brought in the burnt offering. The burnt offering had to be offered because this is a dedication unto God of our service. It is declaring that we believe in an all-powerful, an all-knowing, all-loving, sovereign God, and that when we offer a burnt offering to Him, it is symbolizing our complete dedication to His service. Our body, soul, and spirit is dedicated to God. Our trust and belief is founded in the Holy God. And the thing that's significant about a burnt offering is that it is the whole body. It is sacrificed and the whole body is completely consumed with fire. It goes up to heaven. This is our whole body being devoted to God. He said, after the burnt offering, the offerings were finished. All this had been preparation for them to come and worship. They had cleaned everything, got everything in order, and made the preparation. Offer unto God, to worship God. Now, we cannot come before God before the sin offering is made, before the burnt offering is made. When this was made, the preparations for the worship were finished. Now, in our worship today, we can't come before God on our own merits. Before they could worship, they had to have the sin offering. When Adam fell in sin under the curse and condemnation of the law, mankind was banished from the divine presence of God. God cannot be approached by anything that's an abomination to Him. That anything that is against His nature. This is why man, contrary to popular belief, this is why man cannot save himself. If we are dead sinners, we are an abomination to God. That's where grace and mercy comes in. But God cannot be approached until the sin is paid for. Their way of paying for the sin was in the sin offering. God will not allow a halfway dedication to His service. In order to have communion, in order to have a worship of God, a true worship of God, then we have to come with our mind and our body and our spirit united together in praise and adoration of His name. Now, when they had offered these sacrifices, then they were ready to worship. Here's how they worshiped. Hezekiah answered and said, "Now you have consecrated yourself unto the Lord. Come near and bring sacrifices and thank offerings into the house of the Lord." Come near and bring the thank offerings. If I just told you that all the offerings before God in preparation had been offered and offerings were finished, now Hezekiah says, "Come near and bring your thank offerings." And the reason he says that, he says, after this was done, so the service of the house of the Lord was set in order. This is the order we have to worship. This is the way we do our worship. Now this being the foundation of our service, this is what our foundation is established on, is these sacrificial offerings. This is our order of service, and it signifies repentance. It signifies belief and trust and dedication. And then his thank offerings signifies our profession of thanksgiving to God for the blessings that he's given us, for the blessings that he's provided for our churches, and the guidance that he gives us, and the protection he gives us, and the hope of immortal glory. And all these are as a result of our gifts of thanksgiving. Now this is the correct way of worship. But in Hebrews 10, Apostle Paul tells us that the law was only a shadow of things to come, good things to come. Now, this law was established in the Old Testament. When Jesus came, he did not eliminate the law. Jesus came not to destroy the law, but he came to fulfill the law. When he hung upon the cross, he said, "It is finished." He didn't say, "I got rid of the law." The law is still there. But he fulfilled the law. He paid the price. That's why he had to come. Because a price had to be paid. The law had been broken. And the law had to be atoned for. And he died and said, "It is finished." He had fulfilled the law. So the law was still in effect to a certain extent. The law is still in effect, so our order of service is still in effect. But it says the law was a shadow of good things to come. But those sacrifices that they offered year to year by the blood of bulls and goats could never take away sins. All they did was bring the remembrance of sins back to them. But this law that brought the law of sacrifices, these sacrifices they did of placing the hand on the animal or slaying the animal and burning it up, all that was to no effect, because God is not pleased with the sacrificing of animals. Instead, he had a body prepared for his Son, Jesus Christ. And it's in this body of his Son, Jesus Christ, that we have become qualified to enter into service or enter into worship or enter into communion with God is only through this new dispensation of Jesus Christ manifest in the flesh, that we are qualified to worship him, that I'm qualified to go down on my knees and go to God's rich throne of grace. Now it was by Jesus' sacrifice that we have eliminated or a new direction on these sacrifices. It says, "For by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified." His one offering, when Jesus Christ hung upon the cross and his blood was shed, he took upon him our sins. This is our sin offering. This is what the law was a shadow of, was a foretelling or a prophesying of Jesus hanging on the cross and shedding his blood. That was the sin offering. And the fact that he gave his life free, that he left his home in heaven and was made manifest upon this earth, and he suffered a humiliation that man could put upon him. He suffered the temptations of Satan. He suffered the abuses of mankind and the ridicule and the humiliation. This is why he come. He come to save his people. But in doing so, he did it freely. He said, "I come to do my Father's will." He was not commanded to do it. He was not made to do it. He had no obligation from me. He didn't say, "Oh, Brother Gleason down there has obligated me to come and save him by his actions." He come because his Father asked him to come, and he accepted to do his father's will. That was the burnt offering. He offered his body. He offered his bones, his flesh, his blood, his soul and spirit. He offered it wholly unto God. That was our burnt offering. By his one offering, he eliminated our sin offering and our burnt offering. But that's only two of them. If we look back in the book of Leviticus, it tells us that there was types of sacrifices were the sin offering, the burnt offering, and the thanks offering, or the peace offering, or the meat offering, whatever you want to call it. They called it all different names. But Jesus Christ has eliminated the first two offerings. He has made it available for us to worship our God. Now, how do we worship our God? With this peace offering. How do we do that? By this new and living way, not by the blood of bulls and goats, not by the sacrifice of dead animals, but we now have a new living way. Because Jesus has already atoned for our sins. We have a new and living way. He says, let us draw near with a true heart. A heart that doesn't have the pollutions of the world. Galatians 5, I think it is, it tells us of all the things that interrupt our heart. It calls it the works of the flesh, I believe it is. And they list about 17 different things, and it's murdering and envying and lying and stealing and adultery and all these things that would pollute our mind. Where is our thanksgiving offering to God's glory? For His blessings. Where is our thanksgiving offering? We draw near with a true heart. We leave them at the door if we've got them in our heart. We come in for no other reason than to bless and praise God's name. This is our offering. He said, let us draw near with a true heart. He said, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. We are to maintain this faith. The same faith that was believed in Adam's day. That was preached by Abraham. That was preached by Moses and Jacob. And the Apostle Paul and John the Baptist. The same doctrine that Jesus Christ built His church on. We are not to allow anything to come into this doctrine. Nothing to change it. People say, well, you old Baptists, you're so old-fashioned. You're boring. You don't have nothing to attract the young people. We need something to attract and hold people's attentions here. You're too old-fashioned. You won't never change. What's the matter with you? We're to hold fast the profession of our faith. Declare to all that Jesus is Lord. There's no other. And to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. This is why we're here. We come to praise God. But as I see these brothers sitting around me that I've seen at other churches, they are a strength to me. When I talked to Brother Willie this morning, it was a great support to me. It encouraged me. We come this morning for strength. We come for encouragement. We come to pray for each other. This is our worship. We're supposed to exhort each other to love one another, to pray for one another. This is how we worship God. 13th chapter, I think it is, of Hebrews. It says, by Him therefore, by Jesus Christ, let us offer the sacrifice of praise continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto His name. This is our new sacrifice. This is the sacrifice after the sin has been paid for, after the dedication to God and His service has been done. Then we're ready to worship. This is our sacrifice that we can come and bow down and worship Him with the sacrifice of praise. In Psalm 69. Psalm 69. 30 and 31 says, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock and its horns and hoofs. This is our worship. to our God is to sing the best we can sing. Sing loud. I don't think God cares whether I'm hitting all the notes or not. This is our worship. God's people needs to remember that as we assemble in the house of the Lord, it's not a hollow expression. It's not something to do on Sunday morning because we don't have something else to do. It's not a ritual as some might think it is. It is our worship. It's not a social or a public gathering. One of the advantages of coming is being able to fellowship with God's people. But that's not the purpose of it. The purpose is to worship His name. Our service is the peace offering. It's our thank offering to God. And our attendance, our singing the old songs of Zion, our praying, either whether it's public or whether it's in our heart, our zeal towards God is a thank offering. It should be a direct reflection of the blessings that you have received from God. If God has blessed you time and time again, if He has been merciful to you, then your singing and your prayers and your declaring His glory should be a reflection of that. If we have a hope of being with God in the morning glory, if we have a hope of meeting here this day and communing with God, then our service should be a reflection of that. If you worship a weak and puny God, you can expect weak and puny results. But I declare unto you this day that we worship a holy and righteous and Almighty God of heaven. Our words, our activities, our actions throughout this day, throughout our lives and in our communities should reflect the blessings that God has blessed us with. Let us sing His praises. Let us magnify His name. Let us worship Him with the sacrifice of praise that His Son, Jesus Christ, has made possible. Praise His name for His glory and for His mighty riches that He has blessed us with. Praise His name. I thank You for Your attention. I thank You for asking me to come today. I hope I said something that might want you to give God the glory and praise His name this day. We don't have much we can be proud of. When we look at the grand scope of things and count up all of our worth, I may have a dollar more than you, or you may have a dollar more than me. But it's all vanity. We don't have much we can stick our chest out and be proud of. But if we have anything at all, it's our hope that is in Christ Jesus. Pray for me when you have a mind to pray. I'd like to announce the doors of the church are open. The reception of members to any church that has ordained authority here. If God has blessed you in your heart to look over into that city, if you have a desire to commune with His people and commune with God, then come now before the end of the service and we might hear not what you can do for God, but hear what God has done for you. Someone have a song that we can sing. Now, I ask you to remember the expense of the church. You have a beautiful church here. It's well maintained and upkept, and I'm happy to see that. But I know it takes expenses, so y'all remember the expenses of the church, and I'll invite you all to come to World Memorial if you ever have a mind to. It's kind of a ways off, but we meet on the fourth Sunday. We'd be glad to have each and every one of you. Someone have a song.
156. Page 156.
Page 156. I'll ask. ask you, I don't know how y'all do it. I go to different churches and do it different ways. I'll ask you that, I'm going to ask Brother Willie to stand down here, and I ask you to, as we sing, to come around and shake my hand, shake his hand, whether it's in fellowship or at least friendship. If you don't believe what I've said or what Brother Willie said, at least be friends with us. And, ask you to come around and shake hands and shake hands with your neighbor. Okay.
Come thou fount of every blessing, to my heart to sing thy grace, streams of mercy never
Shiloh, on fourth weekend, fourth Saturday evening at 2:00, Sunday morning at 11:00. And Oak Grove over here on 158 is the second Sunday at 11:00.
Those are some good places to go.
We have a service at Reasel on the second Sunday.
Yeah. I wasn't trying to take them away from Reasel.
If all hearts and minds are satisfied, Miss Brother Willie, would you dismiss us?
Look to the Lord, be dismissed. Dear Lord, if once again that it is our duty to bow before thy throne, upon thy footstool, thanking you for the many blessings that you bestowed upon us. But into this present hour, we want to thank you, dear Lord, for blessing us to walk in a true and living way under thy drippings of thy gospel once in a while, enough to sustain our bodies and let it travel on a little further. We want to thank you especially for this day, being invited to be down here and sit under the drippings of our gospel. Thank you for the fellowship and friendship, dear Lord, that we've accumulated this morning. Now, if it's not asking too much, would you bless everyone that's under the sound of my voice, bless their homes, their churches, with every needful blessing, and cause us, dear Lord, to gather together in not many days hence, that we may worship thee in a true and living way. Now go with us now throughout the further journeys of life. And when you're done with us on this side of the river, would you put us back into Mother Earth in peace with thee? On the morning of the resurrection, on us from crown of thine, we give you perfect praise eternally. These blessings we try to ask in thy name and for thy sake. And amen.
Amen.